Hey there, fellow entrepreneurs. It's Megan, your queen of automation, and I've got something that'll revolutionize your business and your life. Digital Magic CRM. Imagine having all the tools you need in one place. No more juggling multiple platforms or relying on complex or make Zapier workflows. With Digital Magic CRM, you get powerful automated workflows, seamless email marketing, website integration, and more. It's truly a business in a box that saves you time, money, and helps you build the lifestyle you love. Ready to streamline your business and live your dream? Check out Digital Magic CRM and let's make some magic happen.
Listen up, y'all. It's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'm gonna show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complicated.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Chronically Automated, the show where we talk about what would we always say, smart systems for messy realities. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly.
And I'm Anthony Labosco.
Today, we have something really fun and, well, is it fun? I don't know if it's fun, but it's a very good topic. And
well,
I think
it's our reality, Megan. Yeah, it's our reality. Right. So yeah, it's fun for us.
Exactly. I call it looping thoughts. And what I mean by that is, so last week we talked about kind of emotionless automations, right? Like, and disappearing into automations. And this kind of goes hand in hand with this. So when I talk about looping thoughts or mental load, right? Mental load creep. When you think about a project, we've all heard of scope creep, right? When, especially in the tech world, scope creep is a thing, right? Where you kind of creep and the scope starts here and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, for our brains, it's called mental load creep. And as we go throughout the day, I don't know about you, Anthony, but I'll just give you my scenario. As I go throughout the day, things creep in, more tasks, more things, more like stuff that I am supposed to do. And I consider them like unfinished mental loops, almost like when you think about it, because it's almost like they get added to the list. You know, your task list is ever growing. And sometimes for me, it feels like it's this loop, like it's, there's never going to not be something on my task list, right? And so it kind of messes me up a little bit, because I kind of freak out, like as the task list seems to get bigger, even though I can clearly look at my task list and see the stuff in the done column, right? Like it's getting done, stuff's getting done, but it's just more and more and more and more, right? Like it's a loop. Does that make sense? Like it's this weird creep loop where stuff's getting done and more stuff's getting added. Stuff's getting done and more stuff's getting added. So how do we deal with it? Like how do we help others deal with that? Because we talk about it all the time. Like your energy, your lack of energy is going to kill your productivity. It has nothing to do with time management or time blocking or any of that crap. If you don't have any energy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you use the best task management system in the world. It's not going to work for you, right? So that's today's topic. Would you like to weigh in on this ridiculous subject?
No, I mean, it's something so real, and it's something that I struggle with every day, right? Because I'm working on, not simultaneously, but definitely during the day, I have about five or six different projects that I'm working on. And those are so important to do, each and every one of them, right? So I'm focusing, I'm doing things that I feel like I'm making progress, but then all of a sudden you're like, wow, it's been a great day. And then you kind of look and you're like, whoa, my task list is insane. So, you know, how do you then slow it down? Right. I mean, I would think logically that, you know, it's a matter of how we structure our day. Right. And it's that's something that has to be done. And I hope we're going to be talking about that today too.
Yes, because I have a lot of what I think are helpful tips, at least for me, in dealing with all of this, because I don't deal well with those kind of loops where I feel like it's never ending. So the first thing that I do is I only, very similar to my email structure and how I check my emails, I only check that task in the morning. And so I've set it up so that it's very simple. And I only look, I filter my task list, and it will, the things that are currently, like things that are due this week, right? So I'll only look at things that are due this week, because I have stuff on there that's due next week and the month from now, or even today. And then I'll like focus on today only. So at the beginning of the week, I look at things that are due this week. At the beginning of the day, I look at things that are due, things that are doing your due that day. So like on Mondays, I'm looking at both. And then you guys are all going to laugh at me. And then I have this open here in one tab. And then over here, I have ChatGPT open, and I pull up the voice command. And I say, hey, Nixie, it's the beginning of the week. I need you to prioritize what I should be, help me prioritize what I should be working on based on my to-do list. I want to focus on revenue generating, or, you know, revenue generating tasks that are moving the needle for the business. And I literally sit and I read down every single task that's due this week. And then ChatGPT spits out, knowing what our business goals are, right? Because I've given it our business goals for the year, our three big goals, our three big whys. And then GPT spits out exactly what I should be working on and where my focus should be. And if I don't agree, like I'll ask more questions and say, like, why did you choose this over that? And so my GPT is a custom GPT that's been modeling off me for years. So like it knows me very well. I talk to it all the time. But if you're just starting out, you can still do this. Like GPT will still give you the right information. Like at the end of that prompt, when you're talking to GPT, you just say, if you don't have enough information, ask me questions about what my, you know, business goals are for the year, you know, whatever. Right. And so then GPT will ask you questions, and then it will still help you prioritize your list. It's crazy. It's crazy good. It's crazy accurate. And then at the beginning of the week, so some of that mental load of that loop that I keep seeing is then gone and taken off my shoulders, because I'll just go in and prioritize based on the GPT goals. Like I'll just go, like it tells me what to, and so then I move stuff around and I switch dates up for the week and I focus on then one task at a time. So I can't, I know I say this all the time whenever we talk, I say this to people all the time, one task at a time, people. Multitasking is horrible, so stop doing it. Prioritize your list for the week, prioritize your list for the day, and then work on one task at a time until it's finished. I know that's really freaking hard because there's all these things coming in, but I'm telling you, I don't know what you have to do if you need music and noise canceling headphones or whatever you need, but one task at a time until it's finished. Because if you keep bouncing back and forth, it will take you 10,000 times longer. The other thing that you can do, well, actually, what about you, Anthony? What do you do? Like, how do you deal with, I know some of this stuff you and I are working through, but like with the systems and getting that stuff in place, but well, I do you this with Slack too.
Yeah, you and I have much different you know, daily goals and weekly goals, yeah, and things like that, right? Because you know, as a salesperson, right, I pretty much know what innately what I have to do every day. Right. Although revenue generating, everything I do has to be a revenue generating outcome, right? However, when you talk about multitasking, yeah, I mean, I do have a bunch of windows open and I am, you know, focusing on one thing at a time, but then I will also have Teams open, because one of my one of the things that I do is they use Teams. We use Slack. You know, there are many other things with LinkedIn, with Navigator, with, you know, what I do is I time block. So from, let's say,
you're still doing like the same thing, like prospecting.
Correct.
Even though you're prospecting for five different accounts, you're still just, this is prospecting correct. Time.
Exactly.
This is email time. This is whatever time. So I feel like you actually do this pretty well because you're time blocking the stuff out. And even though it's for five, six different companies in multiple places, it's still like, okay, this is prospecting or this is like hunting or whatever you want to call it, right? Like this is, I'm ready to start a campaign and email. I think you do that better than I do. I don't do
right,
that.
Well, I think that once you have the framework and the flow and everything and the rhythm, rhythm is so key to a salesperson, right? So when you're a sales professional, rhythm is the key. And the rhythm is prospecting, let's say, you know, customer meetings, and then you're having, you know, cold calling and outreach and all that great stuff. You can do it across five different brands or so, including one of my own, right? And what happens is that when you do have that rhythm, then you're able then to say, okay, cool. I needed to have this written down, but now I know that I'm going to send out 10 connections for, and by the way, then in the back of my mind, I'm saying, okay, well, Sales Navigator is only allowing me 150 a week. So, you know, you have to be cognizant of, you know, what you're doing on a daily basis. But again, you know, coming back to DMC, that really does help me in terms of, okay, now it's time to cold call. Now it's time to do that. So now I have an auto dialer where actually we're getting ready for a huge campaign next week where I'm going to be making 1,000 calls next week, right? So that's about 200 a day that I'm going to be doing. And I'm really not too nervous about that because A, I have the script written within DMC. Two, I have an auto dialer. Three, we pre-populated everything in there in terms of the campaign and everything. So that's pretty much, you know, on set it and forget it on automation. So for me, yeah. And then you can basically go in there and say, okay, well, cool. I have one campaign that's focusing, let's say, on DMC or the other one that's focusing on company A, and you can organize everything. Everything is different, but then you stay focused on that rhythm.
Yeah. So I have a question. How do you deal with, you know, and maybe that's one of the things, maybe that's a reason that sales is never really, and I know you and Darren, like I have people in my lives who are like, what are you talking about? You're a great salesperson, but not like that. Like I'm a closer. I'm good at like after, anyway, it doesn't matter. We don't need to go into that, but how do you deal with kind of the staleness? How do you keep your energy up doing all of those repetitive tasks? Because obviously, and maybe DMC is the answer, and that's how you keep your energy up, because all of those kind of like boring repetitive tasks you don't have to do because it's taking some of that weight off you, so you can keep your energy up not focusing on all of that. And if that's the case, that's amazing, because to me, I can't do the same thing over and over and over again. One, I get really bored. And if I get bored, my brain just is like, then I'm checked out and it's going to take forever for me to like finish that task because I'm bored. So I am curious because I know you are really good. Like we said earlier, you're really good at your time blocking and setting up those repetitive tasks. How do you keep your energy up? And your dopamine up, like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Like, I want to do this. Like, this is going to be fun. Because I would be like, I want to do this.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Today has been a bit of a, you know, ups and downs. Like, every day is pretty much up and down. I had a really good discovery meeting earlier, and that brought up my energy. But then, you know, I send out, you know, all these custom DMs or, you know, in mails and everything. And meanwhile, you know, when I start to think about it and I get in my head and say, wow, you've sent out probably like 400 in the past, like, you know, month or so, and you haven't really heard back from really too many people. then, you know, then that sort of brings you down. But overall, I think that, and what I've learned, especially from many of the sales organizations that I've been in, staying even. Now, for somebody like me that has multiple sclerosis and finally has been able to really focus on it and get better, not, you know, get better at MS, because MS is, you can't, you know.
Right. It's not going to go away. Terrible.
But that being said, how you deal with it and everything like that has just been an absolute game changer in terms of me staying even. So the anxiety is pretty much out. However, when you talk about energy and everything, look, I'll be honest with you. I took a little 5-minute nap at my desk in my chair. When I get kind of tired, I say, well, I need to just kind of sit back. And honestly, 5 minutes, I sit down and I put my head down and then boom, my alarm goes off. I wake up. I'm like, wow, I feel pretty good. So in that respect, you have to just know your time and you have to know your environment that you're in. And that's why I'm in this purposeful environment to, you know, have all that. So it's a matter of, look, staying healthy. And I think for everyone, staying healthy and being able to, you know, be present, but also not really getting your head and being able to get through everything on a daily basis, I think is a key. And really having a framework is what it comes down to. I'm telling you, Megan, my life, and you've seen me, you know, very much, you know, like, oh my God, this, when is this workflow going to be? You know, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. And yeah, I do have my moments. But overall, once I now know that this is in place, I have a lot more faith in the system, and the system then feeds into me and my system that I know, wow, this is all going to work out. And I just have to execute. That's all I do all day. So
I think it's really important. Something that you said too is really important, is to like not get up in your head. And I think we talk about this a lot on these episodes with you and I together. We talk about this all the time, and I'm just going to sound like a broken record, and I don't care. You have to do what works for you and keeps you healthy. At the end of the day, nobody cares. We are not solving world peace.
No one
cares.
We are not.
I mean, this is, nobody cares. At the end of the day, if you have to take 4 hours, if you have to take 5 minutes, if you have to take a whole day, take it. Take it, reset, and come back. So mine's a little different than Anthony, because my hyperactivity is definitely my energy level compared to Anthony's energy level, I think is like way crazy high all the time. So for I really like that Pomodoro method where I get, no, go ahead. What?
No, I just want to say to everyone that I do have a very high energy level. However, it's not infinite. Right.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that yours is that you're up 24/7, but you also drink very strong coffee. I don't. So there is we could probably do a whole other episode on that, but yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. We should do an episode and bring like Daniel Intrello on and talk about like the effects of caffeine and stuff like that. Cause for me, my energy level is like this without the caffeine. I'd actually truly drink coffee because I like it. Do I need to drink the strongest coffee in the world? Probably not. That's, you know, just makes me even more crazy and hyper, but whatever. Whole nother episode. But for me, my energy is always so up that every 25 minutes, I have a 25-minute timer. I get up and I walk around the house, up and down the stairs, like go up. You know, and I walk for just 5 to 10 minutes, not even. And which is why there's a buffer on every single meeting that I have, because I have to have that time. You know, I have to have that in between time in between meetings, but I also have to have the buffer of getting up and walking around, which is the other reason I got a stand up desk. Right. So people, the stand up desk, you know, and I know there's a lot of stigma about stand-up desks and like walking treadmills. I'm getting a walking treadmill. I don't care what anybody says. I need the movement. And if I have movement, which is why I'm a hand talker, because if I have movement, then I can actually focus better, which is crazy. So, which is why I have a remarkable, I still take hand notes a lot of times when I'm talking to people, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the notes. Because I have AR recordings, I have all these summaries, like I have all that stuff, right? It has to do with the fact that I have to keep my hands busy. I have to have, like, I have to do something while I'm listening to people talk. And it's crazy. It's crazy how that happens, which for me is also the reason that the voice typing and using voice memos and voice anything like recordings works so well. Because
I love the fact that you
do a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
I love that you use that. And you know what's funny? I don't know if everyone knows this, but Megan gets into arguments with ChatGPT. Like, she literally has conversations with ChatGPT. And, you know, I think that's brilliant. I think it's great because, you know, I say it's great, but obviously if you're seeing her and she's yelling at her computer and stuff, that's a whole different, you know.
Yeah, I probably look a little crazy.
But that's still a very cool way of, instead of typing and things like that, you can think about what you're doing. So it actually helps you not only to focus on that, more of a conversation, but it's also a way for you to, I always think about you're organizing everything in your head as well, and you're regurgitating it. And for some of us, I think most of us, we kind of need that. So that's very cool.
It's pretty insane. So I'm on this new kick now. I've decided that any meeting, and you might even see it happen on here, I'll use Riverside on my phone and we'll record some episodes while I'm walking, just because I feel like we need to promote that more, especially with people like you and I. So I've decided that from now on, I'm going to walk 2 miles a day. Walking, we're not talking like strenuous exercise. And when I get the treadmill below, it'll either be in the office or it'll be outside. Honestly, it should be outside, right? Like, you should go outside and get some vitamin D. So any meeting that I don't need my computer for, I mean, obviously I'm a tech person and my entire business is around tech. So unfortunately, there are meetings where I just have to be at my desk because I have to show people how to do things and I have to do whatever I have to do. And I've decided that for any of those meetings where I don't have to do that, I'm going outside and I'm going to walk. I'm going to put my earbuds in and I'll have meetings while I walk around the block 2 or 3 times, you know, and just get that energy and kind of dopamine. It still records. I'll still be able to get all the same stuff, but I think that the desk is starting to get to me a little bit, you know. It's like,
yeah, and I think outside. I think that people also, the list, you know, our listeners, you know, need to understand, well, they probably understand that we are solopreneurs, right? So there is a lot, like, at least for me, it's very hard to, because I'm very much in growth and build mode and execution mode. So it's really hard to walk away, at least taking, like, you know, a half hour at lunch and everything, because I don't know when meetings are going to come up. And, you know, the more client meetings, great. But I do make it a priority at the end of the day to do that. And you are 1,000% right. And you could do it all as well when you're if you're going to a company, if you go into an office every day and stuff like that too, just work that into your schedule.
Yeah. I think it's 100% worth it. I did it a few times. The goal is to try and do it every day. I'm not there yet, obviously, but I've done it 2 or 3 times now since I made the goal, which was Monday? I didn't even know. I think it was last Thursday that I decided this, like, and I put the goal in place. And I've obviously, the weekends are a little bit different. I can do, you know, I can do more on the weekends and walks. I don't work the weekends. But I think everybody should do this. Like, get outside. We're so chained to our desks. And I'm included, you know, me included, I have kind of fallen into that trap. And you have to schedule your lunches, people. That's another good one. Like, Put it on your calendar. For me, the biggest thing I think is if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. And I always forget about all of that stuff, like for my own personal health and well-being.
Yeah.
Put that stuff on your calendars. Like make that an actual habit where it exists. You have an hour and a half for lunch every day. You know, a half an hour of that is to eat food and the other hour is to walk or do whatever. I don't know.
So what other tips do you have? I love your tips because I
Oh, the mental loop stuff. Yeah. So for me, obviously that is a tip too, is anytime that you don't have to be in front of your desk to do a meeting, don't be. Literally do it from somewhere else. The ChatGPT stuff though is really, really great. Like asking it to prioritize your schedule and stuff for you. The other thing too, the Pomodoro method that we were talking about sort of a little bit is if for some reason you can't get outside or whatever, I'm telling you, do that method of where it's, you can start with every 15 minutes, but usually it's better to do it every 25 minutes or 30 minutes because all of our brains, whether we're neurodiverse or not, your attention span for tasks, especially when you're doing really, really large tasks. Like for me, if it's building workflows or if it's building a website or, you know, like stuff that's going to take a little bit of a heavier lift and cause more stress, every 25 minutes on the dot, and you do this and you repeat it, you get up for after 25 minutes and you walk around for 10, and then you come back and you do it again in 25 minutes and you repeat that cycle, you do it for 3 hours. And then you take a long break. So you take, you know, 5 minute breaks after every 5 to 10 minute breaks after every 25 minutes. But then after 3 hours, that's when you take like your big break. You take an hour or 45 minutes, right? A big long break. And then you come back and you do the cycle over again. This is how I'm able to get through these sprints. And this is how I'm able to do the stuff and focus on one task at a time. Because you have to be really mindful of the task you left. Honestly, I still use these. Anthony knows this because he sees me writing on sticky notes all the time. One of the reasons that I have sticky notes still is that I will write down the task I'm working on. And when I take my 5 or 10 minute break, come back, check it. And I only do that 3 times before I get my big long break. But then I always know the task. I always know what I'm coming back to. It's weird. Some people are going to think it's weird,
but it works for you, right? Yeah, I think everyone needs.
But it also helps you when we say focus on one task at a time. Do you know doing this method, this Pomodoro method, the reason this works, it will help you eliminate multitasking because you've got 25 minutes where your head down, focused on whatever the thing is. And then your timer goes off, you get up, you walk around for 5 minutes. So when you get up to walk around, you're already thinking about the thing that you just left, right? So you're not giving your brain, and this is without your phone, by the way, do not take your phone on your little 5 or 10 minute break. Do not take your phone. Because as soon as you take your phone, you're going to break this whole process because then you're going to be looking at, what are you going to do? You're going to check your email. You're going to check your Slack. You're going to check your whatever. When this is supposed to be 5 minute, 10 minute, like get water, go to the bathroom, walk outside, look up at the sun, like whatever. Like this is not supposed to be check your other shit time. And then when you come back to your desk, you're still in the mind mode of that task. So you just basically do that until that task is finished. And then you move on to the next task and you do the same thing. I'm telling you, it is a multitasking killer and you'll get more done. Because your brain needs breaks. People don't give their brain breaks. I think that's where that mental, like the whole like loop creeping and all of that shit starts to happen is when your brain doesn't have a break.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
I'm not a scientist, but I just, I highly believe that your brain is the biggest, you know, it's the most important thing in your body. So why wouldn't you give it a rest? I don't know. You know what else we were going to talk about too, and I think that is very relevant to this conversation is calendaring. We kind of just touched base on it, but you asked for other tips. Always, like, we've talked about this before, but set meeting days. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? Like, I'm just throwing days out there. Whatever 2 or 3 days you want, those are the only days that you take meetings. Leave the rest. It's not that you won't talk to people or whatever on the other days, but these are like your, like, for instance, for Anthony as a salesperson, Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, like, are his, we'll just say, those are his meeting days. Those are like, he has 6 hours where he's just going to do 15 minute demos. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. But once you have those days set, make sure that you have at least 15 minutes in between meetings scheduled, that
right.
post buffer, right? I would even say, I would go for so as far as say 30, because then you've got your 15 minute where we just talked about, like, your mind break, right? Because you need 15 minutes to at least just kind of digest what you just talked about. And then, you know, whatever after meeting process you have, whether it's notes or whatever, I don't know, but you have that 15 minutes. And then if you do 30 minutes, then that second 15 minutes, like, the first 15 minutes is for the client or the person that you just talked to. You're dedicating your brain power, saying, I just talked to this person, my notes, whatever. That second 15 minutes is for you and your health. Get the heck up again and do that thing that we talked about. Walk outside, get away from your desk. Don't bring your phone. You know what I'm saying?
I'm smiling because that is so not what I do. That's so not what I can do.
Back to back to back to back. Everyone does that.
That's fine. That's okay. Because, you
know, every salesperson I know does that. But think, if you could just give yourself 15 minutes in between those meetings, maybe not 30.
Well,
you would have so, like, but your brain would be so much more refreshed.
So
How exhausted? Let me ask the question and then you can answer. How exhausted are you? And I already know the answer to this because we've had this conversation, but I want you to say it live on air. So we're going to break this shit down. How exhausted are you when you have a day and you have 15 meetings? And they are all back to back to back to back to back.
Well, thankfully, I don't really have those kind of meetings anymore. However, when I did, I didn't know which way it was going, because then you have, then in terms of my cognitive thoughts and everything like that, it's awful. You know, by the last meeting, I'm pretty much like, well, you know, think about it too. You don't just have the meetings. You then have to do the post, you know, follow up and everything like that too, right? So there's a lot of effort that goes into everything.
That
so
should
I,
be
you know,
automated.
What's that?
That should be automated.
Correct.
If you are recording your meetings, you should automate your follow up based on the summary recording that you, and I'm sorry, that is not what I would consider an emotionless follow up if you're using the actual summary of your conversation. But
Look, Megan, I agree. I understand, but I'm, you know, there is now some automation in that, right? But overall, I mean, it's going to be an authentic way. I'm going to have to go through it. I'm not just saying, oh yeah, I'm done with this. Boom. I'll just send this out. No, I'm thinking about it.
Summary.
Absolutely. So yes, the answer is that I'm exhausted after that. And then, you know, look, as a solopreneur that has clients, right, that I have a consulting, I'm doing consulting. So that's 4 hours blocked during the day that I'm focusing on that. Then, you know, the other time that I'm doing is with other sales calls and follow up and, you know, business development, things like that. So, and I love that. I love the fact that I work out in the morning. I wake up 5:45, start working out. And then I go into my office and I just love it. You just go boom, boom, boom. That's why I'm napping sometimes, like, for 10 minutes during the day at my desk.
I would never.
It's great. You just keep going. You wake up and you're like, whoa, all right, let me keep going. And that's kind of how things
why
are.
I never did the sales thing. That's got to be why I never did the sales thing, because there's no way. I would never want to do that. I would never want to talk. Because I feel like you're always running late to something too.
Well,
like,
so let me give you a use case, a real use case. So next week is my goal is to make close to 1,000 cold calls next week, right? So
you're crazy.
Yeah, I know I'm crazy, but well, I have to. And, you know, I'm just saying, so that in itself, so it's a 4-hour span during the day that I can do that. How do I keep myself sane during that time? I mean, you obviously take little breaks. I think that is really where, when you literally are just cold calling and you're doing your thing and you have an auto dialer and everything, I think that's the method, Megan, where you work for a half hour, then you take a 15-minute break, then you get back. That is something I'm absolutely going to do because I'm not going to sit here and make 1,000 calls. I mean, we know I'm not shy and I love to talk, but overall, I mean, that's something that is that definitely takes a lot out of you, especially when you're still prospecting. You have to be do your thing too. And then on top of it, I'm writing on LinkedIn and things like that too. So I have to keep my mind, you know, somewhat, you know, after dinner, you know, somewhat. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, more power to you. I think it's amazing that you're able to do it all, but
crazy. You know, and that's too, yeah, you want to be able
to burn out. It's going to help when we get all the systems and the parts and the pieces and the automations that we can. Because that stuff helps, right? Like then you don't have to worry about some of that mental capacity, which is why I think you're so energized, because we've taken a lot off your shoulders by automating as much as we can. And we're only gonna automate more. So that's going to be cool. I think that's a wrap for today. Mental capacity is a real issue with just entrepreneurs in general, and even like CEOs and execs and stuff like that. You have to give your brain a break and stop letting everything in the world creep into your day. I highly recommend all of you go and try the GPT like prioritization, whether you use time blocking like Anthony, or you use a project management list, or you even have a project manager and they give you a task list every day. I've actually had that before as well. I used to have a deal with a girl in corporate America when I worked corporate. She actually worked for me, and this was totally outside her realm of things that she needed to do, like as my employee, because I would buy her Starbucks coffee every morning and get her something special. And what she would do, no, she would literally bring me my to-do list prioritized with like based on what we needed, you know, our department goals. Because that's just not my thing. I'm going to work on what my brain wants to work on and not necessarily in the order that it should be worked on, because that's just the way my brain works. So I have Andrea now that helps with that, but GPT helps me with that. And now that I know that I have to do it that way, like just being conscious of who you are, you be at you, do what you need to do. And this is for everyone. Every process is going to be different. Screw what I say. If it doesn't work for you, don't do that. Like maybe what Anthony does, you know, maybe that doesn't work for you either. You have to find your own way. The only thing that Anthony can do is provide you with the tools and the resources that are out there and say, hey, this is what's available. This is how it works. This is how we can automate it. This is how we can not, you know, like how we can put it together for you. And that's kind of really when it comes to this stuff, how we help people. You know, we can show you all of the options. And then what I really do at the end of the day, fundamentally, and I think Anthony would agree with this, is problem solve. People bring me problems that they have within the business. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be automation, AI, content operations, right? Like running your business. And then we all put our heads together. And we figure out a way to solve the issue so that it's no longer an issue. Like that's the end game. And for each and every one of you personally, that's your end game. When you're trying to figure out how to deal with your neurodiverse brain and you're struggling to get through all the shit, you have to do what works for you. Screw everybody else. Don't listen to the experts. There's not a blueprint. There's not a template. None of that shit is going to help you. Like, if that's not the way your brain works, you have to find a way that makes, you know, helps your brain. And it's not going to be what Anthony wants or what I want or what Joe Blow from down the street wants or the guy sitting in the cubicle next to you. None of that shit matters, honestly. And if whoever's listening can get over that hump of, oh, I've tried all the coaching, I've tried all the things and the templates and all the timers and all the shit, you know what? You have to keep trying until you find the thing that works for you. But I don't know. It's never going to be cookie cutter. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, in closing for me, and I'm not going to really go off, but you know, this moment that I have where I'm, you know, doing a lot of cold calling, doing a lot of prospecting. Yeah. I'm doing it on my own because I'm a solopreneur, but the goal is to do this. Those are revenue generating motions, right? Very targeted motions that I've learned a lot from Megan, a lot from Brand Build, a lot from, you know, my sales experience as well. But I know mm-hmm. that the end game is going to bring me in more resources so I can then use them to, you know, help to guide me and support me so I'm not going to burn out. But for right now,
yeah,
I do what I have to do. And that's probably your plan as well. So again, do it your way.
Absolutely. 100%. And I, you know, I say it all the time, but it's one of those things where there's a lot of really good coaches out there. And there's a lot of really bad coaches out there. And I think that the coaches who try to kind of fit you into, you know, their blueprint, their mold, their whatever, in my opinion, that's really not the best way to do it. The coaching should be around the individual and based on what their brain needs to succeed. Obviously, the good coaches will do that, even if they have certain frameworks and certain things that they're using. They adapt it to the individual's needs. So that's it. That is all for now. Remember, everybody, operations, technology, all that stuff is only good when it works. And if you are chronically automated and you're dealing with neurodiversity, chat with Anthony and I, because that's what we do on a regular basis. And we will see you all next week. Bye, everybody. Hey, ambitious founders. It's Megan, your queen of automation, here to introduce you to the ultimate community for high growth founders. BrandBuild. As someone deeply involved, I can tell you firsthand how transformative this community can be. Co-founded by Darren Mass and Nat Berman, BrandBuild offers top-tier business coaching, powerful networking opportunities, and all the resources you need to scale fast. Join a community that's all about growth, support, and making big things happen. Ready to elevate your business? Come join us at BrandBuild and let's build something extraordinary together.